When you hear that music, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms, as we always do during this soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. And this soulful Psalms segment is now its own podcast. That's right. If you go to EW10PodcastCentral.com, you can download this this part of the show as its own podcast. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify or SoundCloud or whatever your favorite platform is for podcasting, and listen to the Soulful Psalms. Right. So today we're looking at we're continuing to look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73 is a long one that we have to break into sections. So we've already looked at the first section, verses 1 through 12. Today we're looking at Psalm 73, verses 13 to 20. Now, Psalm 73 is the first psalm in book 3 of the Psalms. So Psalms 73 to 89 are part of book 3. Psalms 73 to 83 are written by Asaph, right? So Asaph means gather in Hebrew. Of course, he's one of the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple that helped put music to, or either wrote and put music to the Psalms. And so the prescript is very simple. It just says a psalm of Asaph. Very simple. So now we start at verse 10. So the people, just to set this up. So what's happening here, he started off, we talked about this before just briefly. He said, how good is Israel to those who are pure of heart? He's talking about when he was stumbling, how God came to help him. In the midst of everything that's going on around him, he's staying faithful to God. He's asking God to strengthen him in the midst of everyone trying to destroy God's life in him, to lure him away from relationship with God. So we start in verse 10. So the people turn to them. So he's talking about the people of faith turn to the people. Sometimes we get deceived and lured in by the people of the culture. So the people, faithful people, turn to them, the people of the culture, and drink in all their words. Why? Because it sounds alluring and pleasing. Does this sound familiar to you? It should. It's the Garden of Eden all over again. Genesis chapter 3, the snake goes to the woman. Did God really say you can't eat of any tree in the garden? You know, and then he says, she said, well, we can't eat. Yeah, we can eat of the fruit of the trees, except for this one here, or else we'll die. Oh, you're not going to die. When God knows, when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. So what happens? Now she turns back. The tree was good for food. It was a light to the eyes. It was a desire to make one wise. She drank in the words of Satan. And the Asaph here is saying the same thing. Sometimes people of faith turn toward the culture because the culture sounds so appealing and so alluring and so tempting. And we sometimes will fall into that temptation. And he goes, they say, in verse 11, he continues, they say, how can God know? Does the Most High have any knowledge? Look at them. Such are the wicked. Ever prosperous, they grow in wealth. All right. So again, not just money, wealth, but they seem to be controlling things in the culture. Right. They seem to be growing while people of faith seem to be fading away. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Verse 13. So now he's pondering. Now I love this. Asaph starts to ponder what's going on in the minds of people who are being pulled in and seduced by the culture. In verse 13, how useless to keep my heart pure and wash my hands in innocence when I was stricken all day long, suffered punishment with each new morning. So he's thinking, okay, he's thinking, well, why should I? You know, let's put it into modern language. Why should I go to church every Sunday? Why do I need to go to confession? I'm a good person. Why do I need to go to adoration? Why can't I look at porn? We start questioning now God's authority. We start to question God's law as we begin to, the culture tickles our ears with their allurements. And then he says, Then he comes to his senses. Then I said, if I should speak like that, I should betray your children's generation. Actually, in Hebrew, literally says, I should betray the race of your sons. I should betray the race of your sons. But to make it sound more like it's including everybody, I should betray your children's generation. All right? So again, so if we fall, so we who are supposed to be the witnesses and examples, especially to our young people, of what it means to follow God, and we're getting seduced by the culture, he said, if I should speak like that, I'm going to betray my own children. And look at that. Look what's happened in our culture today. When we as parents, as educators, as religious leaders, when we don't stand up to the culture, we lose our children because they're being sucked in by all those words. And when they don't hear anything contrary to the message of the culture, and what's contrary to the message of the culture? The message of Jesus Christ and the gospel. When they're not hearing that teaching, they pull away. And he continues, I strove to fathom this problem, too hard for my mind to understand, until I entered the holy place of God. Right? In the previous translation said, until I pierced the mysteries of God. In this translation says, until I entered the holy place of God. I love both those translations, right? So, but I like this one because it says, I entered the holy place of God. So we're talking about adoration today. You enter into that holy place with God and came to discern their end. So as he began to contemplate the things of God, he began to realize, well, wait a minute. Yeah, it may seem very alluring. It may seem very tempting, but in the end, they go away. There's nothing there. It's just covering, right? It's just, there's nothing there. There's no substance to it. There's no depth. There's no ultimate meaning and purpose. And then finally, how slippery the path on which you set them, how you make them fall to destruction. So he said, so they seem like they're good, they're strong and steady, but ultimately they're weak. How suddenly they come to their ruin, swept away, destroyed by terrors. Because now he goes, now he's talking about, here's what happens if you continue to follow in this way. Like a dream one wakes from, O Lord, when you wake, you dismiss them as phantoms. Right? So they're living in a fantasy world. They're not living in reality.
Yeah.
So we have to come back to God's law and come back to reality.
Well, it's like we've talked about this before, this example of, you know, when you scratch an itch, if you keep scratching that same surface over and over and over because it feels good, I use air quotes there, but it's at some point you cause a scab, you cause bleeding, you cause scarring, you cause a wound. And we don't realize the wounds that we are deepening inside of our souls when we choose not to do as God ordains and orchestrates for our lives.
Yes, exactly right. And I love this. Again, this last line is like a dream one wakes from, O Lord, when you wake, you dismiss them as phantoms. So this is really a dream state, a fantasy that the culture is living in. Mm-hmm. They think, look at us. Look how powerful. Look how successful. You know, look at this kind of movement and that kind of movement and this kind of flag or this kind of pronoun and this kind of thing. And it just seems to be a juggernaut within our culture today. But I love Asaph. It's just a dream. It's just they're living in a fantasy world. It's not real. We should focus on the things that lead to our ultimate end. Because look, this world is going to be gone. Every person on this world is going to die. But remember, this is not the end. Right? For us as people of faith, it's not birth, life, and death. It's life, death, resurrection. Mm. There's more to come. There's more to the story. Yeah, so the culture lives the way that it does because it doesn't see an end.
Yeah.
For them, you die, that is the end. So maximize pleasure, minimize pain, you know, and that's their mantra. You know, change like chameleons. When the culture changes, the culture ideology changes, you change with it. You know, and that's ridiculous. You know, we have to stay steady on course with the Lord. That's what we're called to do, and that's what we're called to be.
Well, and I've heard you say in your live events, and I've heard it for years, so it always bears repeating, in that stop orchestrating things and then asking God to bless it. Mm. Now, you say it with much more dynamic than I do, but the point is the same. And that's how we spend most of our life because we're, well, look what I have. And now God's going to bless this. And when it wasn't ever intended for you to have to begin with, So then he has to take it away, and then you have to go through all of that. And then he can build you back up as you trust and you keep your eyes on him. And then he can bless you with what he's had intended for you all along. So a lot of times we're the reason for the delay, not him.
Yes. Amen. Amen. You know, and I've got a couple of shows I'm still working out, you know, thinking through, but they're going to be back-to-back shows about forming your conscience.
Mm.
You know, why shouldn't we think like the culture? Because some people will say, well, you thinking with the church, that's just brainwashing. You know, you're just fine with the church says blindly, you know. But wait a minute. So what's it? Or you keep hearing, well, just let your conscience be your guide, the old Jiminy Cricket thing.
Right.
But wait a minute. What does it mean to form your conscience?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to align yourself with transcendent principles that are true, whether you want to believe them or not? So I'm going to have a couple of shows talking about that. That's a huge deal today.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.